Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Jinamine Sri Vashavanavi Devi Daya Daya Kripavdaye Krishna Sambandha Vidyana Dayane Prabhave Namaha Madhuryodhvala Premadhyā Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Sakti Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinathārine Upanuga Rudhapa Siddhanta Dvanda Harine
It is on page 5. We should sing together.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Namine
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya
Shavanavi Devi Thaya Thaya Kripavdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayate Prabhave Namaha
Sri Shavanavi Devi Thaya Thaya Kripavdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha
Madhuryodhvala Premadhyā Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Sakti Nidrahaya Namastate
Madhurya Dhyana Premadhyā Sri Upanuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Sakti Vigrahaya Namaste
Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinathārine Rupanugarudhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine
Sri Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinathārine Rupanugarudhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine
Today we are observing the most auspicious occasion, the day when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur left this mortal world for the eternal realm of Goloka Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada, every year, on the disappearance day of his Guru Maharaj, would give a very emotional lecture, full of his pure love for his spiritual master. At one time, he began his lecture by describing that the appearance and disappearance of the great souls, there is no difference. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yogati tat prata. That the appearance, the activities, and the disappearance of the great associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the devotees, they are divyam, they are divine, they are spiritual. That by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for some he deprives the world of that association in due course of time. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was the Param Guru of our beloved spiritual master, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sometimes our Guru Maharaj would request that we pray for the mercy of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He used to tell us that he is your spiritual grandfather. And he said that the grandfather is always much more lenient and compassionate than the father. He said the guru oftentimes is very strict. But the Param Guru, like grandfather, is always very kind and lenient. This is natural. Even in material family circles, we find that the father disciplines the children, but it is almost impossible for the grandfather to discipline the children. Huh? They don't like to see the children. They don't even like to see the grandchildren disciplined. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada told us that we should pray for the mercy of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to grant us his causeless mercy. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes narrate to us some of the key principal events in the life of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. It is described that one great Vaishnavacharya, who was none other than Gaura Shakti, the divine energy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, descended to this world, and his name is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Later on this afternoon, we will go to the residence of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very much in the mood of Sri Advaita Acharya. He was trying with all of his life's force to deliver the pure message of Sri Chaitanya to fallen humanity. But he came to the conclusion that in this time of Kali Yuga, men are so proud of their material conditions in life, and so addicted to sense gratification that it is almost impossible for anyone to get through to them. So just as Sri Advaita Acharya cried out with a heart full of love for Lord Sri Krishna to personally descend to take on this mission, so similarly, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he would pray to the Supreme Lord Krishna, Chaitanya, to kindly send one of his own personal associates to descend to this world to perform this great mission. What he literally prayed for, as he called it, he prayed for a lay of Vishnu. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur had many children.
12, 13
children in a big family. So it is described that one auspicious day, this beautiful ray of Vishnu appeared in this world. And it is described that he appeared on a very auspicious occasion, and his umbilical cord was wrapped around his body exactly as a Brahmin horse's thread. He was born in the holy dham of Sri Jagannath Puri, in the home of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And one day when the Ratiyaksha was going by the house of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the cart stopped, and the mother wanted to take the opportunity to give the infant child the darshan of Jagannath. So she brought the baby child. She had been given entrance to the cart because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was in charge of the whole Jagannath temple. So she took the small, newly born infant child and placed his head at the feet of Jagannath. And just exactly at that time, a garland fell off Jagannath around the body of the small child. And when this news came to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he concluded that my prayer has been fulfilled. That the ray of Vishnu, the eternal associate of Mahaprabhu, has descended for the deliverance of this world. When he was but a child of only 4 years old, it is described that he once ate one mango. Prabhupada would like to tell the story again and again. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said that, my child, do you not know that this mango has not been offered to Krishna? You should never eat anything that is not first offered to Krishna. So, although 4 years old, when most children are very playful and whimsical, he took this so seriously that he made a lifelong vow that he will never taste a mango till the day he leaves this world. And he followed that vow throughout his life. Now, of course, later on, he became the greatest of all saints throughout the world. And during the mango season, everyone is very anxious to offer great saints mangoes. This is the standard, that you bring mangoes. And whenever anyone would offer him mango, he would say, I cannot eat it, I am an offender. Even when he was old man. His vows were so strict. He was so learned that it is described that he read libraries of books. And his mind, his intelligence was so pure that at any time of his life, he could quote any line from any book he had ever read without hesitation. Of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was training him very much in the devotion, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And his initiation is a wonderful story, which we will tell in a few minutes, because his Guru Maharaj's Samadhi is just here, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. So we will tell that story at that place. Where we are sitting now was the house where Bhakti Siddhanta lived for much of his life.
It is described that after his father left this world, he took up the mission again, and he decided that the first thing he should do was take a vow to perform a great tapasya. He came to this place of Sridhar Mayapur, and he vowed to chant the holy name of God 10 million times before leaving the little hut he was living in. It's a straw hut. It is described during the rainy season that hut would be completely practically destroyed and water would be coming in, and he would sit there with an umbrella chanting his rounds. And he would eat once a day, very simple, just some rice soaked in Ganga water, I believe. And of course, 10 million names takes a long time. So he was sitting there, month after month after month, chanting, day and night. Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And one day, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him. And he told him, my dear son, this is really nice that you are chanting the names in seclusion, but what about the rest of the world? They are suffering in Maya. More important than sitting here in Sridhar Mayapur for your own purification is you go out into the world and you spread the message of Harinam Sankirtan. So at that time, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he began traveling, preaching. He came to Calcutta, and he had, of course, a very small beginning. The first temple was a little house converted into a temple at Rangutabanga Junction Road in Calcutta. And at that place, every evening, he would give lecture on the roof. There was a jackfruit tree that was growing in the ground, and it grew all the way up, and there was shade that would come onto the roof. So his vyasa sign was seated right under this jackfruit tree. So one day when he was sitting there in the evening giving Chaitanya Charitamrita class, our Guru Maharaj, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, was convinced by his friend, Narendra, to come to see Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. Prabhupada was not very inclined because he had met so many sadhus, but he felt that most sadhus were simply engaging in some business rather in real compassionate work of the Lord. But he was convinced to come to see. So as was the standard etiquette, when Srila Prabhupada came before the great saint, he bowed down to him. And as he was getting up, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, that you are an intelligent young man. You should spread this message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English language all over the world. Prabhupada was quite startled. There it is. A person I've never met before. I haven't even looked at him yet. And he's giving me a lifelong mission. How is this possible? But Prabhupada got up and he began to explain to Bhakti Siddhanta how he was a follower of Gandhi. And the real need for India was independence. That spiritual philosophy is a luxury. And besides that, India has no integrity as a nation as long as it is under British rule. So who will listen to any of our philosophies? We are an inferior country. Therefore, first let us stand behind Gandhi, fight for independence, establish our independence, then we'll have time for these other things, such as religion. Then people will take us seriously. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he became very strong, very forceful. He found Prabhupada that Krishna consciousness is the only important message that is required. There is no lack of anything except Krishna consciousness. And it is such an urgent need that it cannot wait for any political changes. Political changes are always taking place. India is under the Muslims, Indians are under the British. Politics is always changing. But the soul is eternal, and the nature of the soul is eternal. Therefore, until man understands Sanatana Dharma, Krishna consciousness, there is absolutely no solutions to any problems. So he told Prabhupada that you must take this mission now. And Prabhupada, he said at that time, in his heart, he accepted that this is my eternal father, my spiritual master. And one day Prabhupada looked at us and smiled in the most loving, tearful manner. And he said, I am very proud to tell all of you that my Guru Maharaj completely defeated me. You see, a devotee is proud to be defeated by his spiritual master. So that was the seed, which was the beginning of this worldwide Hare Krishna movement, planted in the heart of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur lived a life of tremendous energy, preaching all over India. In his life, he established 64 temples single-handedly. Some of the most educated, learned of all people of the country became his disciples, took sannyas, and accepted his mission as their life and soul. Of course, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's base was this place in Sridhar Mayapur. And you will see just behind you, we will go there in a few minutes, are the deities of Radha Gandharvika Giridhar. They are the personal deities that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur worshipped himself here in Mayapur. He installed them and he personally did puja. So he spent in this place together many, many years. In this house on the veranda, it is described that oftentimes he would be seen by his disciples walking back and forth, chanting his rounds very loudly. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was known by his disciples as the Singha Guru because he was intolerant of impersonal philosophy. When he would see impersonalists in the street, he would approach them and begin to defeat them so strongly that they would either have to surrender or they'd be completely humiliated before everyone around. Of course, most of them were not willing to surrender. So when they would see him coming, they would run as fast as they could out of fear. They would hide. And when he would catch them, he would roar like lions, "Why you are not worshipping Govinda?" So it is described that our Guru Maharaj through the Prabhupada, he wrote one letter to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. And in this letter, he expressed how you have so many disciples who are sannyasis, brahmacharis, who are dedicating all their life's energies to helping you in the mission. Now you look behind to the children, the job. I want to do more. Please tell me how I can better assist you. And Prabhupada got a reply by letter back from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Well, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said that if you really want to assist me, then you must spread this Krishna conscious message of Sri Chaitanya all over the world in the English language. And only a few days after this letter was written, in Calcutta, in the beautiful temple in Bhag Bazar, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he left his mortal frame and his soul departed to the spiritual realm. So Srila Prabhupada accepted that this message was the final message of his guru to him. Therefore, it intensified the burning fire in his heart to fulfill this mission. And the spiritual master never leaves the disciple. It is described that in order to push Srila Prabhupada or Guru Maharaj further toward executing this mission, he appeared to him on three different occasions in dreams, ordering him to take sannyas. If you want to spread this mission according to my desire, you must give up your family, take sannyas, and preach. So in this way we can understand the great unlimited mercy of the great souls. How when you accept the shelter of their lotus feet, it is an eternal relationship, and they never forsake you. Srila Prabhupada used to say often that at every moment I could feel personally the divine presence of my Guru Maharaj. Of course, such great souls as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, actually we can delineate their pastimes, their glories, for hours, for days, for weeks, for years, for the rest of time. Today we are futilely attempting to touch one particle of one drop of his unlimited voice. After he left this world in the Bhag Bazar of Calcutta, he was brought, his body was brought back here to Sridhar Mayapur, where his home and his worship of the Lord where he resided. And it is at this samadhi that we just visited that his sacred body was laid into samadhi. So this is the most auspicious place to be in the most auspicious day. Srila Prabhupada, he instructed us that on the disappearance day of great Vaishnavas, we should sing the prayer to the departed Vaishnavas, which was written by Srila Narottamdas Thakur. So at this time, we will go to the Samadhi Mandir of Gaur Kishore and Prabhupada Maharaj. Actually, Bhakti Siddhanta is right here.
It is on page 86. The translation is, that personality who delivered the treasure of prema bhakti, who was so intense with compassion, where is such a personality to be as Sri Acharya Thakur to be found? Where are the saviors of the fallen souls? Where is my Swarup Damodar, and where are Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami? Where is Raghunath Das to be found? Where are my Raghunath Bhakta and Gopal Bhakta Goswamis? Where am I to find Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj now? All at once, they have all gone to join Lord Gauranga, the great dancer. To reach such a perfect personality as Lord Chaitanya, I can only break my head against the stone in the anguish of separation. They have all gone off together in their own lila. Narottam Das Thakur says, unable to obtain their association, I must simply weep. On the disappearance day of the great Acharyas, it is a day which is most opportune for cultivating the sentiments of separation from the great devotees of the Lord. This is a most important part of our spiritual life, because just as Sri Chaitanya taught us that the highest relationship with Krishna is the mood of the gopis when they were feeling the intensity of separation from the Lord. So similarly, our consciousness becomes most intensely absorbed in the mercy of the great souls when we are wrapped in a feeling of vipralamba seva, or service in separation. Vani and Bapu. Vani is personal association, and Bapu is association with instruction. Of the two, the personal association, physical, is temporary. But his personal association through his word, through his sound, through his mercy, is eternal. But still, that physical personal association is something that is very dear and very special. And therefore, in the absence of that association, a devotee should feel intense separation. Raghunath Das Goswami, after Lord Chaitanya, Swarup Damodar, and other great souls left this world, he decided that, there's no use living, it's too painful. The pain of not being with these great souls is so intense that it is better I commit suicide. So he went to Vrindavan to jump off the Govardhan Hill, thinking it was much easier to die than to live in separation from his gurus. But of course, Yupan Sanatan told him that he had a higher purpose to fulfill by helping them in their preaching mission. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he used to say that I have no love for Krishna, nothing. And the proof is that I'm alive. If I had even one drop of love for Krishna, I would certainly die due to separation, due to not seeing him before me. But the fact that this soul remains in this wretched body is proof that I have not even a drop of love for Krishna.
and separation from Krishna's devotees is even more intense than separation from Krishna. Because Krishna reveals his intimate mercy to us personally through the great songs. So on these disappearance days of great acharyas, such as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we should sing this song with a desire to cultivate this separation, this feeling of separation, this burning intensity of longing to be in the company of the great devotees of the Lord.